Bruno would come and tell you when they lost their virginity.
That's true. Oh my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my 2-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
Shut your face!
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
But it, deep down, I'm like, I'm always surprised that people listen.
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
You probably know him from, we're talking about the theme song already, Bill Glass, you know, from Coke Zero commercials. That's what he's most famous for. He's a commercial actor.
I don't have a television.
You don't have a television.
You don't. That's what's missing. What? I'm not in, am I in this conversation?
That's what's missing.
Now, are you the guy who is like, I don't have a television because I think it's a waste of time? Or are you the guy, what's, do you have a reason for not having a television?
Lack of motivation, I think.
I'm just, to get one or
I'm just
to watch
too lazy.
It?
Yeah. No, I'm never too lazy to watch it. I mean, you know, that's, you've got to be pretty lazy.
Yeah, he's gotta be impressed.
Oh, come on, you guys, let's watch some television. yeah, I don't know.
What are you doing instead of watching TV?
Come on, you never want to watch TV anymore.
That's what is blowing my mind, that it's lack of motivation to do something that is incredibly lazy.
Here's the thing, is there, it's, you gotta get one, they take up room, they send out crazy vibes, you know, and make
crazy
your head,
vibes?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're vibrations, all electromagnetic.
Oh, I see what you're
waves.
Saying. So you're like the cell phone, you don't like that being close to your head or your junk?
No, I mean, you know, hey, I'll put anything next to my junk.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
This podcast took a quick turn.
Right?
That was real fast. Real ugly turn.
Hold on, we've never seen Dave Ball's junk. We don't know.
I don't plan to, ever.
No, seriously, and I just groomed yesterday, so
really?
I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah,
it's high tight, yeah. It's sexy. It's,
yeah, it is.
Why do you know? Am I on? I don't feel like I can be heard by human
beings. I can hear you.
Can you?
I can totally hear you.
Better?
It's okay. It's okay. Great.
No,
why have you seen his junk?
I don't feel...
I haven't seen it. I'm just imagining. If it's freshly groomed junk,
seriously,
I'm just saying
I haven't
that...
seen this guy in a couple of years, and I'm fairly certain he's been fairly consistently imagining my junk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what... I mean, you count down the minutes.
Yeah.
When you know a Dave Ball, you're like, you see... Because you see him... Here's how, this is a little bit of background.
His junk must be majestic.
I believe this. And I'm not talking about that piece of crap Jim Carrey made. I'm talking about really the meaning of the word majestic.
Right, yeah. He's majesty, like, royalty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. His junk is not comedic and trying to be serious like the majestic with Jim Carrey. You know what I mean?
No, it's crowned in fur and laurels, and gods are coming down from Olympus.
It plays to its strength.
Seriously, like, Zeus is really into chicks, but there's been a couple of times where he's walked by and at least done a double take.
Attaboy, Dave.
You know?
Attaboy, Ball.
I roll deep.
Yeah.
You're rolling with Zeus, apparently.
Rolling with Zeus.
That's what you do. That's
that's right. Making Hera real nervous.
Can anybody in this room quote the rant, or I guess not rant isn't the right word, but the monologue, if you would, that Samuel L. Jackson did in Die Hard 3?
No.
Where it was like, he goes, what's your name? And he goes, and he kept saying, hey, Zeus. And he goes,
not Zeus.
Like, Zeus is in God of Apollo, Master of Lightning, or something like that. But my favorite part is the end where he's like, don't fuck with me or I'll shove a lightning bolt up your ass, Zeus. Right. And then Bruce was like, oh, okay.
Fine. Wow. You might want to switch to decaf there, Samuel L. Good Lord. Because I've seen some of your early stuff, and man, you seem like you're really on it. Edge.
He churns out more movies than Post has cereal.
That's a nice analogy. I like that.
Yeah.
It's true, though. Like,
it is true.
It seems like every month
every
you turn around.
Every third movie. You know what? Every movie has either got him or the other guy in it.
That other guy.
That other guy. He just came out with, you know, 7 movies, I think.
Johnny Depp.
No, not that guy. The other African-American gentleman that all the
Ving
white
Rames.
Women want to sleep with.
Oh, Denzel Washington.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You
that's
know?
True.
Eli. Anybody seen it?
I heard it was good.
Yeah,
I heard it was horrible.
Really?
Yeah.
I went and saw Legion, and it was horrible.
Yeah, really?
Oh, man. Well, you know, a friend of mine was like, here's the one of the few minuscule drawbacks to not having a television. I had never ever seen, seriously, I'd never seen the trailer to it, and I thought, Dude with wings and a machine gun. What's not to love?
Right? Ice cream guy turns into a spider?
Boom. No, I didn't see that because that's on the trailer. Damn All it. I saw were the posters.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
You didn't go to other movies and see the preview for
I don't really go to movies much either.
But you went to this one. So the posters really lured you in.
No, because of, I was with a girl with beautiful skin and amazing smile and hopefully,
She's going to see the high and tight ball joke.
Boom, exactly. You know, it's like she's feeling the Zeus vibe,
So why didn't you take him to the lightning thief? At least that would be weird.
No, she chose the flick, and I was like, all right, it looks cool. Angel with a machine gun. Or some dude. It didn't even occur to me that he was an angel. I just thought some dude with wings.
Sure.
Could be Icarus.
It could be Icarus.
With a machine gun taking on the sun?
Honestly, because there's been a lot of, X-Men, Wolverine type movies, and I know there's Archangel, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
right? Hey, I'm down with a freaking Archangel movie. That dude shoots, feathers like flying blades. Yeah. All right. And honestly, in the past few years, the Samuel L. Jackson bit that got me really excited was the very end of Iron Man when it turns out that he's freaking that other guy.
From the Avengers. Cage, he's General something or whatever.
What's his name? Nick Cage?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. From the freaking, the Avenger thing. And I'm the lone nerd in the theater who's on his feet. Yeah. Woohoo. Avengers, assemble. Yes. Awesome. Oh, my God.
I'm going to say that you were not with a chick with beautiful skin and a beautiful smile when that moment happened, or...
I was not, but, and this was also pre-Survivor, so I get a lot of leeway now that I've been on television,
Now you can come around.
Also,
seriously, is it like, because I know people joke about that.
It hasn't gotten me laid one time.
Okay,
one
that's what I was going to say.
Really?
It really hasn't.
But I'm not really aggressive about it, It's like, I could, if I, that's I'm just great. Not. I'm just
I know,
not,
I get it. It's just funny to, here's the thing, for me. Like, this is going to sound like a total douchebag move, but, I knew when Dave and I started to say this earlier. Dave and I met at Second City. He was the stage manager there when I was in the conservatory program. Right. One of the, and I wish this would be easier if I was saying this last week before we had you on the show, so pretend like you're not in the room, but easily one of the nicest, coolest guys that you'll ever meet.
You're competent. Yeah. All the shitty, completely unfunny people. God, that kid, Dave Ball's a prick.
Really? Oh, I loved him. Well, he never had an uninteresting conversation with this guy. Never ever have I seriously, he's always like what's already happened in the first 5 minutes of this show. It's like we just launch into
very
it
deep, yes,
and it's great, right? So he's been on Survivor, and so that's why it's I'm not here's the thing, I'm not laughing when you say you're not aggressive enough. I'm laughing from the history of you that I just think it's funny for him to say things like, well, I mean, I'm not aggressive. Like, if I really went on there and said, hey, just so you know, I was on Survivor, seriously.
I brought the full court press and then, got the whole, little tip in or assist with the little, I was in Survivor, boom.
Boom, it's happening.
Nothing but net. I mean, bang, 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 knock him down right down the line. But I've become a pretty picky son of a bitch in my old age. And it's like, here's the thing, young lady, you may be lovely, but if you're an idiot.
Can't hang.
Man, I can hang. I can't, come to attention.
Oh, yeah. I see. You're at a full hang.
Hang. I'm like, I just get irritated far sooner than would even take for me to remove your bra.
This is blowing my mind. So you're saying the lack of stimulating conversation works as gives you almost erectile dysfunction.
Not necessarily, because she might be boring, and that's not horrible. But unfortunately, if she's an idiot, that's I get a rash. It's just I get a mental
You're
rash.
Allergic.
I have a psychic allergy.
You're not seeing anybody right now, are you?
Well, you two are sitting right in front of me.
Hey-o.
What did we come over here to do today?
I started right in with the junk talk.
We may have walked into a back door.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
I think I just paved a path of magic is what's going to happen. We're about 15 minutes away from him busting out his guitar and writing love songs about us, and then we have our first homo three-way to make it happen.
Right, Daisy Chain to House
Music. which is my favorite band.
The reason I ask all this stuff is because I married my high school sweetheart, as our listeners know. Yeah. So anytime I hear about a single guy who's out playing the field, it is unbelievably interesting to me.
Because
it's like the other side of the world.
Exactly. It's reading a romance novel for me if I was a socker mom. That's the idea. But it's like, tell me all about this, Dave Ball.
Right, yeah.
Like the idea that you have to groom your junk. I mean, maybe you don't have to if for the ladies, but to, it's
but,
a choice.
But it, and makes it look bigger.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
Right.
You know, and cleaner. And you know, it's just as much as, you know, you want the ladies to be well-groomed.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what?
Quid pro quo. Right?
I would never address it as a quid, but sure, why not?
I apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
Whatever,
to label
dude.
Your junk.
It's all right.
In some
We've
kind
got
of...
history, so I'll give you that one for free.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Just out of curiosity, how many free ones do I get, just so I'm aware?
Don't push your luck.
Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. We're here in your lovely home, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah.
I appreciate you allowing us to come in
my
and
pleasure.
Record
glad.
Conversation with you.
Glad to have you.
And I'm sorry if I offended you and or your junk.
It's all right.
You know what? Let's just move past this. Let's
get
on and move past it.
Yeah.
So you're seeing these ladies and you're saying that if they're dumb, you can't, like, what is the dumbest thing that some chick has ever said to you? Do you have that in your pocket? That
no.
just,
I try and flush it from my membranes. It's, like, get it out of my head. Get
you black it
out.
It out.
Yeah. You know, I do. I just get so aggravated and frustrated, you know, and in LA, so many people are focused on looks that you attract a lot of lovely young ladies. And unfortunately, the lovely a lot of times are given a pass.
Yes, I've seen this. This is something that I feel.
Yeah,
I don't know.
True.
I know that you're from Northern California. You're not originally from Los Angeles.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So now Oklahoma, I think, is a prime example because my family is from like Plains, Lubbock, Texas area.
So
right?
Similar.
Yeah.
It's very similar. Yeah.
So you could be a very beautiful woman in an Oklahoma or a Plains, Texas, and also be a interesting person
Absolutely,
or whatever
yeah.
because you don't necessarily get that same level of free pass, I feel.
I think I might disagree.
Okay.
I think that no matter where you are, if you're beautiful, you get things handed to you.
Really?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I would agree.
Well, I agree with that, but I here's the thing. Maybe it has more to do with like an age thing, but I have noticed since coming here to Los Angeles that you do. You see chicks, like the biggest one that I've noticed in Los Angeles is that because you're good looking, therefore everything you have to say is interesting. Like, you don't understand that the reason most guys that you talk to are willing to listen to you is because you have, as you said, I love that description, beautiful skin and a nice smile.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you have rocking, and that's why everybody's going to be nodding their heads.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
not having an idea of what you're, or caring about what you have to say. Like, I've heard many an opinion from a pretty chick that I'm like, you should be keeping that to yourself.
Yeah.
But no
sure.
one bothers to tell you that it's stupid because
exactly.
you're so pretty.
Yeah.
What they
right.
need, I feel like, I'm going to put this out there to young, attractive female listeners because I know that that's probably 80% of our market.
I was going to say 85.
Okay.
So.
Sure.
We probably bumped
sure.
it up. We've picked up about 47.
Yeah. Sure.
1,000.
Right? These chicks, come and find me because what you need is a good married man who doesn't care about what you look like to take you down about 2 or 3 pegs
right,
and say,
right.
when I say this, is this okay? Okay, and I will sit with you.
I'm single, and I'm just
okay. Dave Ball also
hell,
in on
and
this.
I will knock you down, man.
Just,
I'm like, no, see, that won't fly at all.
Open up a firm, a ball and Worsham.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you set them up, and then you're the field testing day.
Yeah, you so want in on this, Miller? Do we come Miller Ball and Worsham?
I'm gonna be the silent third partner.
But your name is
it.
On the building then.
Silent third partner.
You can be the one who teaches the ladies silence.
Yes.
Ooh.
See, even better.
Yeah. Baby, listen.
Consultant.
You know, shut your mouth.
Today's class is don't talk.
Yeah, don't.
Any questions? Good.
Right. No one? Excellent.
Everybody passes. Extra credit.
Well done,
right. everybody.
It's like a backwards game of Simon Says.
Froyo for everyone.
Yay.
Well, real quick then, I want to get this out of the way because I didn't really want to talk about it the whole time or whatever, but let's...
Half the time. What are we talking about?
Not even that. I'm talking about your experience on Survivor.
2/3 of the time.
Because here's the thing. I'm personally a fan of the show. Were you a fan of the show before you went on it?
You know what? I actually was going to go on Survivor China.
Yes. I remember this.
That's why I quit Second City then.
Yeah.
And I was...
You're like, hey, I'm in.
Leadership.
I'm out of here.
Yeah,
best of luck.
Out.
Good thing, though, that you didn't do that whole, like, you win the lottery and, like, fuck you. Couldn't have been more cordial about the whole experience. Like, probably even part of your plan was to eventually come back. Am I right on that? Or
well, that was a request that I put in that the Second City establishment said, no, sorry.
Oh, well, that's good
sorry,
that
that's
they
not, no.
haven't lost their lack of heart.
Right. No. They've had that all the way through
that's
from
good.
Beginning to end.
That's
absolutely.
Good. Well, you maintain control. consistency. Yeah, that's what you want sure, from you assholes.
Know, they were like, you know, here's the thing, Dave. We really wish you well, but we pay you a lot, and we'd like to pay somebody else a lot less. And we don't want to give them benefits either. So
thanks for going away.
Seriously, thanks for shoving off so that we can turn somebody else into a slave as opposed to you
yes.
on salary who runs, you know, the joint. But whatever. So I had not been – you know, I lived in my van like for 5 years Ooh. Before Second City.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so I haven't had a television. Like the only time I had a television was for about a year and a half after Second City, but before Survivor that I lived I shared an apartment with a dude in West Hollywood, and he had a television and cable, and I'll watch it.
Yeah.
You know? I studied up. You know, I watched each successive season. Plus, I had.
So when you found out you're going to be on the show, you went back and researched.
I have been researching ever since the China thing fell through because I made it all the way to the finals. Like I was the alternate. The male alternate to go to China, which meant that I went all the way through finals and almost actually got on the show. And once you make it that far, you never have to apply again. You are
you're always in the hopper for the next one.
Always in the hopper, you know. And I knew that I had enough personality that you know they were definitely, you know, like gosh darn it, the ladies who worked there were like, we're going to keep you in mind for sure. And so I knew that, you know, the next season, actually the gal that I went and saw Legion with, the beautiful one, she was on the season after.
Oh, wow.
So she was a survivor. Like I have this whole network / club of
That's interesting.
Friends, survivors.
You know, so you know, like, and you know, we've all been through an experience that nobody else has. And so we relate to each other in a way that nobody else.
Exactly. Well, I noticed like at one point you put pictures up on Facebook of like a reunion party or whatever.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't look through them, unfortunately. Maybe this would answer my own question, but I did remember seeing it going, they have a reunion. I'm like, what an interesting thing that it's almost like they become like a high school. In that, you know, you guys are getting together, and even though, like, because at first I was like, well, you probably only know these people, like, I don't even know off the top of my head, what is there, 26 at a time that go through it to start?
No, far less. The only two seasons, including mine, had 20 people, and then a few seasons had 18, but the vast majority of them have 16 people, so only 300 people.
Yeah.
In 10 years.
So it's like going to a small high school now because, and that's the thing I didn't think of till just now is that for the most part, everybody's seen other people. So you kind of do that thing where.
Like I recognize people from television that I haven't actually met, but at this reunion, it was the 10 year, you know, we've gone through 20 seasons, two seasons a year. They had the 10 year, you know, reunion party. Everybody come in. CBS hires a DJ and, you know, there's a bunch of free booze and there's, you know, food and whatever and a bunch of people and you get to meet a bunch of beach people.
Oh, he fell asleep.
What just happened?
Sorry, man. Sorry.
It's okay.
Doing great.
Sorry. That actually happened to me at Tribal Council a lot, dude.
Really?
Like, really?
Well, here's the deal. I'm naturally a morning person. Well, you know, because you've got to, you know, scramble around. There's usually the way it worked was there's a challenge in the morning, and then you get back, you know, noon, 1 o'clock, and you're – okay, it's time to scramble because tonight is Tribal Council. Somebody's going home and I don't want it to be me.
Yeah.
So, you know, you scramble around, and then sun, you know, starts getting close to the horizon. Then we have to go to Tribal Council. And when we can't start Tribal Council until the sun goes down because it looks cooler because it's dark. But as soon as it's appropriately dark, then we can start Tribal Council. But I'm a morning person. And when you're out there in a real wild environment, you don't have a television, you don't have electric lights, your body clicks into natural biorhythms real fast to where as soon as the sun goes down, you give me half an hour and it's bedtime.
I mean,
we're all going to bed.
I'm not supposed to be out here. There's an animal that could eat me now.
No, there's no animals because we would have hunted that bastard down and killed it. I am not joking at all. We were like, man.
Well, that was my first question because
we're going to find a pig and nuke that bastard.
A lot of people talk about how the validity of the idea of it being Survivor in that, well, there's craft services there, so they could easily just walk over to the table and grab food from the crew. Like,
false.
Yeah, not
false.
True.
Yeah, who would say that?
No,
who are these
idiots?
I mean,
you are starving. You're literally.
These are the people that I think look at it and go, you know what? I could do that better than those people. I had to look at that show, and I'll be honest. I love the show. I love watching it, but I have no desire. Like, here's the thing. If all of a sudden they said, hey, we want to give you a shot, yes, but I'm not interested enough to like.
You should know that they don't come and find you.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they don't. They don't.
This is not what happened for you, Mr. Bond.
That is what happened for me.
Oh,
the first time.
A lot of people, like the most people, most of the people that get on the show these days are recruited.
They're scouted
from where?
Mike McClendon was working for Survivor Entertainment Group as a casting PA. For Amazing Race, and he actually approached me. He was an intern of mine at Second City, and he approached me, and I had applied the year before and heard nothing.
Yeah.
And then McClendon comes up and goes, "Hey man, did you ever think about going on Survivor?" And I got this mean look in my face, and I was like, "I would fucking kill that show." Bring it on. Let's go. He goes, "That's what I thought. I'm going to get you an interview." So he got me an interview, and I talked on the phone to the casting director, and then I don't know if I should have said that name. Maybe beep that out for
okay,
me.
Okay, you got it.
And, I'm serious.
And, no, I believe it.
Yeah, and because I'm like, hold on, I shouldn't.
We'll just drop the volume. About... Let me make a note of the time.
Yeah, right.
Done. All right.
Perfect.
I'm going to say the name a lot for the rest of the podcast.
beep, 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 beep.
You know,
so much bleeping so anyway, for me to do.
Right. Really good job in post, by the way. Beep, 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 beep.
Right. So anyway, I had a phone interview, and she kept trying to provoke me, and it was really weird, and I'm trying to
what?
Be not provoked. Yeah, right. Because they want to see you be crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and unstable, because that's makes
what
good
sort
television.
Of things would they say to provoke you?
I don't
you?
Recall. It's a long time ago.
You're dumb. Did you know that? You should go to a school for women to shut up.
It's funny you say that. So anyway, let's see what happened after that. So then they said, all right, well, cool. And apparently the story goes, McClendon tells me that because he was in the room during that phone interview, we finished the phone interview. She said, all right, well, I'll bring you in for a face-to-face interview or something like that. She hung up the phone, turned to Mike and said, I don't really think anything's there, but we'll bring him in. So then I had a face-to-face interview with her and several of her associates, and apparently it went well. She said, okay, thank you very much. You know, I mean, I you know, kind of got a little ranty and whatever, and that's what they want to see. And,
yeah.
And so then I came back and took tests, and then they brought me back into the hotel and went through finals process, blah, 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 on down the road. I quit Second City, get a call the next day. Oh, you're an alternate. And I'm like, well, fingers crossed. And then nothing happens. And they said, well, we'll keep you in mind for the next season. And then nothing happened.
Yeah,
and then
it was
the
a
next
while.
Season, nothing happened. Yeah, it was several seasons. And then about a year ago, a dear, dear, dear friend of mine who has worked for a long time in the casting department, she became a dear friend of mine through this process. She said, listen, man, we're getting you on this show. This is just, I don't know. She goes, Dave, what's it going to take to get you on the show? And I'm like, it's funny you say that because I don't work for them. You do. Why don't you tell me? You know, because you're number two in the list. Yeah. It's like there's the head honcho and then there's you. So why don't you tell me? And she's like, well, shoot a video, have it to me in 24 hours or 48 hours. Like she was like, bam, let's make it happen. Yeah. So we went through the process, and then I went back to the hotel again, and I tested again. Just took all these tests.
What sort of tests did they make you do?
A full psychometric battery, personality tests, IQ tests.
Like you're joining the military. Like,
yeah.
Or Scientology.
You know, like, and there are questions, you know, like the MMPI is one. It's a fairly standard psychometric evaluation. I don't know what it's something multiphasic personality inventory, something like that. And, you know, they ask you questions like, have you ever done really weird things? And it was written like in the 30s. And the information.
I say, chap, are you but a nerd? What is this question?
I'm sorry, you distracted me.
the questions are written,
in the, written
30s.
In the 30s. Multiphasic inventory.
Yeah, it was written in the 30s. Oh, yeah, so the questions, the language is really... antiquated, and you're like, what the hell? And it was, and a lot of it was taken from crazy people. That's where they got
their
information.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of, you know,
like
crazy,
schizophrenia,
crazy,
or
I don't know,
like just you're, some mentally
talk
ill
to a psychologist. I don't fucking know.
Okay,
man.
All right, listen, let's take it down.
So
that's a good rant.
I feel like
Survivor.
I'm in the test right now.
Right. Anyway, I tested stuff and interviewed.
Warshot test.
It happened. So and you're saying then, so the whole food thing, false, right? That you guys are literally out there fending for yourselves, and you if you find animals, then you're then it's like,
you know, you have there are bananas, plantains, there's coconuts, except for the plantains,
but not provided. Like there's it's things you have to scavenge.
There's coconuts everywhere. I think maybe a banana fairy at one point, like when we get to the camp, I think there's bamboo and there's bananas lying around.
How it got there.
Exactly. Or... But, you know, there's coconuts everywhere and you can live off coconuts. And honestly, because China was a, there's two kinds of survivors. There's your rice survivors and your coconut survivors.
Oh.
Yeah. There's your South Pacific is a coconut survivor and everywhere else is rice. And rice has got no nutritional value. China. Sorry, Japan, but it's rice has got no...
Yeah.
Maybe that's how they stay skinny and not get obese, because it's just... It
that's
goes in and goes out.
They stay short is because they don't get enough vitamins. I'm not kidding.
All right.
You know, but now as you know, food processing and production techniques have gotten better, you see, you know, real serious growth spurts and, you know... Asian people, that's as I understand it, I may be incorrect, but that's highly unlikely.
No, what about like what about any kind of? Because here's what I think most people watching will sit there and they'll go like, if you know you're going to be on the show, like, can you do things of like preparation, like hire somebody to teach you survival techniques and all that stuff?
You can
and
do anything you want,
you can. Okay, so
I mean, they don't say, all right, don't learn anything from now until you know they want.
And
you
how
to
much
be...
of a heads up do you have?
I knew. I'm probably not allowed to say.
Okay.
But I had, I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. That's all right. You know,
an hour.
And I had
more than an hour. Yeah. We can fairly
it
say.
It was more than an hour. That's right.
Okay.
Know?
All right.
You know, I mean, I think a lot of people didn't prepare at all, and it showed in their ability to not
eat coconut,
make fire,
right? And not make fire.
The and then my other question was is that I always thought that because you get these shows like Big Brother and things like that where you lock people up in this enclosed environment, anytime that they get an opportunity of people hooking up, they will try to tape it in a way that they can appropriately show it on television. But I feel like only once or twice it's happened on Survivor. Now, in my opinion, because I've heard other people talk about that, is that they think that it happens all the time. In my opinion, I think that you're so hungry and or at, like exhausted that there is no chance for that. Am I right or am I wrong? Or
when you're literally starving, the reproductive
it doesn't
drive
work.
Is just
it's like being with
gone.
A dumb chick is what you're saying.
It's not even like that because when you're with a dumb chick, you're still, you know, like, hey, I can if you stay quiet, but they never will. So that's
they have to show
you
how dumb they are.
It's the anticipation of pain and suffering that is the turnoff with the dumb chicks. But you know, if they were quiet, you know, and left immediately, I'm sure it wouldn't be nearly as traumatic.
Wow.
But you know, but you still have the drive present. But when you're literally starving, like I'm probably about 170-ish right now, and I was. Gosh, I lost a total of like 18 pounds.
Wow.
I lost 18 pounds.
You're a tall guy, too.
I'm a tall guy. Yeah. And I didn't go in there with a whole lot of meat on.
Yeah.
And then within the next month, when I got back, I put on another, I put 30 back on. So I was 10 pounds heavier than when I started. And I was like, all right, I got to get back into shape. So,
yeah.
And then when you go to the reunion and the guy like, you know, Fincher, that guy, I mean, he's, you know, beautiful, but he put on a bunch of weight and hasn't taken it all off. So it's like, hey, what's up, pot belly? How you doing, buddy?
Yeah. That's what's interesting is that when you see when they do the final like tabulation of who's going to win, you get to see these people where it's like, it's crazy how you see them nourished. Like you're so used to seeing them malnourished.
Right. And then you see the live finale and you're like, oh, they put weight back on.
Yeah, exactly. Like you look,
like Natalie looked like hell. Yeah. But then you see the finale and you're like, oh, mama.
Well,
my wife
has had moments where like, wow, that he or she really packed it on or whatever. I'm like, no, dear, you just saw them like they're an Ethiopian.
Emaciated.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's a regular person. Cause the way you watch the show is it literally transitions from emaciation to here we are after being home for a while.
For 5 months.
Yeah.
And you're totally fed. You've been eating like crazy. I mean, you've come back and you've got a food complex where, you know, you almost switches somebody in the face.
I don't think there's too many dudes that'll care, but I think it's unfair to a lot of the chicks, you know, because it looks like you're like, oh, you went a month without any food and then you just pigged out, you know what I mean? When in actuality, not the case. Yeah,
this helps a lot because I went to India for 2 weeks and didn't eat hardly anything because everything there is spicy gravy covered in sugar. And when I came back, I gave like 20 pounds over the past few months. I really did.
American food.
Yeah, like, oh, hamburgers every day. I'm going to drink soda,
when you
everything.
Starve and then gorge. It's like, you know, your body goes, all right, we got to put some weight on because hell, he's probably going going to start starving again.
Right, right. Quick, you don't know. So
I have two other questions, too. My first one was, because I don't know if it was a nickname that you had before that I just wasn't aware of, or if it was something that came out on the show, but then they never, I don't think they ever addressed it, was that you had the nickname Danger Dave that kind of popped up towards the end. Is that something that happened on the show, or is that something from your past?
You
or?
Know, I've had that for a long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a long time. I'm
bummed, because I was like, oh, man, I wish I would have known that was his nickname, because that's a great nickname. Like,
yeah, I didn't really go by it. And honestly, I can't remember how it started. You know, I mean,
how did they find out about it?
I don't know.
It's probably one of those questions from that old test.
I don't know. Yeah. That's great. You know, I have a rap at some point that's got that whole, I mean, not for you, but I mean, that was poor, but I have lyrics that include that. But I don't know how the hell they
found it or whatever.
Yeah, who cares?
My other question is that there was a game that you were playing that if I'm right in my remembering or whatever, that was kind of similar to like a bocce ball. Am I right? That's like Italian.
It was basically bocce ball.
That you nailed it. Like you on the last opportunity, the last chance. Now I remember, this is what was interesting for me knowing you, is that I remember watching it and watching the intensity in your face, and I'm like, this guy is putting on a face like he's a professional fucking bocce ball player right now. And I'm just curious that in that moment, were you like, holy crap? Or was it just like, did you know what you were doing? And it just looks like that. Or was it, you were just intense because you're like, I really want to win this. Like, can you remember what was going on at that time?
No, yeah, I remember exactly what was going on. We had two guys and one girl on each team. Okay. Uh-huh. So the other team was Dr. Mick and... who was the girl? Was it Natalie? I think it was.
I think it was, yes.
Natalie and Russell. And then it was me, Chief, and Shambo. Mm-hmm. And now, see, Chief picked, because the clue, we weren't sure that it was a reward. We thought it might be a tribe swap, and we were sweating.
Yeah.
Because up to this point, we'd just been dominating the shit.
Crushing.
Fofo, just crushing them. They were pathetic and stupid. I mean, they just were. God bless them.
And to the point to where they were told that they were going to do
it. It was horrible.
And dumb.
And but Chief, Shambo was irritating, and I frightened Chief because he just didn't understand me.
Yeah.
And so he chose us because he knew that we might be able to compete, but also if we were going to have a tribe swap, we were the two that he wanted to get rid of.
Oh.
Yeah, so then we roll up, and it's a challenge, because I was sweating. I thought, oh, man, I can't handle going to Fofo. I'm going to lose this game.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. I'm pretty badass. But anyway, hell, it might have turned out better. I don't know. But anyway, so then we go to bocce, and so the Chiefs go first, and then the girls, and me and Russell – go last, and we've each got three balls, and the first ball I throw and it sucks, and the second ball I'm like, okay, like I had taught myself, like I never played sports in school, but when I was about 25 I taught myself for 30 I don't know taught myself how to shoot a basketball, and I got to where I could drain them, you know, and it was using you know science, you know, it's like, okay, this
just
is the
thinking of the
mental
mechanics.
Yeah, think of the mechanics, and you know, I could knock them down, you know, it's like three pointers, and all the black kids are going, damn. You know, I'm like, nah, whatever, what's up? You know, and I'm like, okay, so I'm like, what I wanted to do was, the brain is a really genius machine. So this is ball two, right? We got three balls. This is ball two. So I'm going to calculate, you know, elbow versus arc, the weight of the ball, this and all that.
Because you did have a unique way of throwing it out of everybody.
I'm going to take all these. Well, it's because throwing it overhand is stupid. It's going to roll, but you throw it underhand.
You get a backspin.
You get a backspin. So it kills forward motion, and that's what you want. I couldn't believe those morons didn't pick up. I'm like, you guys, every single one of you are idiots.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, you know, da da da. I put all this information to the computer and threw it. Suck.
Yeah.
Just a horrible shot. So honestly.
Which, by the way, at that moment, my wife says, what is he doing? And I'm like, I think he's got a plan. If you look in his eyes, he looks like he has a plan.
Yeah, man. I was doing my best to win. And that was about all the plan I had. So the third ball, I said, all right, here's the deal. Ball number two, I overthought it and sucked. So this time, I'm just going to clear my mind. And I said, Jesus. I'm not kidding. This
I know
is exactly
I believe
what
you.
I did.
I know, but it's
I said,
just such
all right,
a great
God,
thing.
Here's
like
the deal. This is your ball. This is not my ball. This is your ball. So I'm just going to empty my head. I'm going to take a deep breath. You can get him, Dave. Shut the fuck up, Shambo. Okay. You can just, I'm going to take a deep breath. It's your ball. Whatever you need to happen, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be all cool. You can get him. Shut the fuck up, yeah. Shambo. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. I want to.
didn't they air you in so many words telling her to shut up? Like,
and she was stupid and yeah. couldn't hear. She could hear nothing but the screaming of the voices in her own head.
Because Natalie, this is so great, because Natalie is watching the show and she's yelling at Shambo to shut up too.
Shut like, oh, wow.
Like, I wish I could play it on the podcast because sure. it's just an audio show, but you could just see the concentration and the focus and just like getting into a zone on Dave's face.
No pressure,
exactly.
Dave.
Exactly. And Natalie goes, what the fuck is she doing? And then like, and then it kind of resets, like the way they shot it or edited yeah, yeah. it, I guess, together. Then it kind of resets again. And then she was like, you can do it, Dave.
You can do it. You can do it.
And then I think you just kind of shot her look. And then like, and then he gets ready again. And then she says it again. And you're like, no, seriously, shut up or something is what I remember. You know,
and I'm being super polite.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
She's obviously a loose cannon.
Yeah.
You know, and she has these delusions like we're being totally mean to her. And yeah. I'm like, no, you are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being incredibly kind and gentle and generous to your psycho
yes.
bitch ass. You're yes. such a moron. Point of the story is, Jesus, it's your ball. Ready? Deep breath. Go. I actually hit Chief's ball and knocked it into the post and was like, woohoo, we win. And you see a lot of people online like, you the Galoos were so arrogant. No, fuck you. We were not. We went into every single challenge humble as shit. Like, hey man, this could be the one. We need to bear down and play our hearts out because we are not guaranteed shit.
Yes.
And we always, after every challenge, we locked that shit down.
Yes.
To where I was like, yeah, we win. Yes. And I ran up and I looked and I high-fived the chief and that was it.
Boom. Mm. Done.
Done.
But that's not all you see in the edit. Like in the editing, it looks like you guys celebrated for a half an hour.
No, yeah. it doesn't.
No, I don't. I think because
you can't edit that.
Right.
Yeah. We only celebrated for a minute. They can't, not
you
even
can't,
a minute. For like 5 seconds.
You can't
seconds.
Porno that right, and right. keep playing the same
question. Yeah, exactly. No. They never show us celebrating a long time because it didn't happen.
Because it's happened in seasons prior, like where you'll get a team that dominates and usually they get comfortable and they start to rest on their laurels.
Not Galoo, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Hardcore every time, like this is the one we're gonna lose, so bring it.
The more like that's what cool. I remember Natalie and I having this conversation is that this is so funny that through talking to Dave about this, I always thought that I'm like, oh, I'm a fan of the show, but I don't know if I'm one of those fans, but this is making me sound like one of those fans because like we've had conversations while the show is happening about I'm like, you know, it's interesting that they're not getting cocky to the point to where they're resting on their laurels. I go, I really think this is gonna help them out long term because they seem to be a team that's gelling together and getting it, that if they just focus then they don't have to worry about a merge at all.
Because we locked in and we knew that our behavior was going to be nothing, is nothing they're going to be able to hold against us because we were nothing but gracious winners. Because I immediately, as soon as I locked it in, I immediately turned around and went over and shook everybody's hand. Just got it right in their face. Good game, man. Good game. Good job. Good hustle.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, man, good game. Good job. You
know? Yeah, that's great.
Sorry, but we're going home with chickens. Peace out. You know? And I knew Chief was real paranoid about, you know, me. And so when we got back to the camp, I said, Chief, this was team, man. It wasn't me. It wasn't about me. In my mind, I'm like, fuck y'all. I did this, bitch.
Yeah.
This was me.
You nailed it.
You know, but I told him, I said, I hit your ball. So it was our, so, you know, you tell him that, you know, because I wanted to, I was playing coach. I wanted, because he was just crazy paranoid the whole time. And it was funny because when I watched the show, I forgot, I was like, is there anything I could have done that I could have prevented Shambo from losing that chicken?
Yeah.
You know, I thought, man, I should have told her before we even went into the camp, don't lose the chicken. And then they showed on the playback and, oh, I did.
Yeah,
I did
really?
Do that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, wow, I did. Wow. I said, you know, all right, just make sure that you don't lift the lid off
because
don't, you know. But, you know, they were supposed to lay eggs and they didn't lay. They laid like one egg and those eggs were already in the hatch when they, I mean, they were already in the pipes in production. Yeah. But when we got to camp, so the next day we had a couple eggs and yay. But because Shambo peed next to chickens so that they would know her smell.
Wow.
Well, yeah, that's how they know your smell. No, shithead.
What?
That is how territorial carnivores mark their territory. You fucktard. You're the stupidest fucking... That's the stupidest... Remember the question earlier? The stupidest thing you've ever heard out of a woman's mouth? That was it. The stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard out of a woman's mouth is goddamn Shambo. They'll know me and they'll like me and lay eggs for me. I hope you die.
You know what's funny is that for me, watching her, she started off as like a real endearing person. Mm-hmm. But then as the show came on, you're like, no, you are bat nuts crazy and or dumb. Like
and
the,
evil.
Or both.
Don't forget that.
Both.
And evil.
Yeah.
Oh, I never
she got
that.
She got a good edit.
Yeah.
She
I
actually,
was going to say.
You know, she is in, I know that she is holding massive grudges against CBS and is very bitter, but boy, they did her right. They
really?
Did her good
really?
Because
wow.
she was far, far worse than that.
That's what, okay. Because
yeah,
towards the end, like, I noticed that as soon as she, it looked like she had power.
Oh, yeah.
There was a huge flip in her personality.
She
where
became
I was like,
Hitler,
whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah,
whoa. As soon as she got power, yeehaw, I'm going to hurt some people.
Exactly.
Oh, that was her entire strategy and desire.
Weirdly enough, that's how, too, like, she started coming after you, or like, which I was like, what? What?
Because she has felt powerless her whole life, and she... you know, we represented somebody she wished she could be and could, and just was, it was her insecurity and self-hatred coming out. It was her demons, you know.
That's so crazy. Oh. Interesting stuff. Great. Yeah. It was great to watch. It was a lot of fun. But
And thanks for sharing all that. So now we know what the world knows you have for as your role on Survivor. What does the world not know you
ooh.
About? Yeah. What's
I'm
the
curious
secret?
About the music too. I don't know if that leads into the same thing.
I thought he would say the music.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, Brett's cousin is a rapper. He's got a few albums out, and
nice. That's awesome.
I've been writing hip hop lyrics for about 10 years.
Uh-huh. Really?
The universe has not conspired to find me really kick-ass funky tracks because I'm kind of a prick when it comes to my funk. He's got some Brett's cousin wants to work with me and so we've had a few meetings and we're going to start playing out live, and you know, we're going to do some, you know, busking just to tighten a show up, and then we're going to hopefully start playing some gigs out.
What's busking?
I'm not sure.
Busking
is playing like at Third Street Promenade in Santa Monica, playing you know, sitting there, you know, hey, I'm playing my guitar and singing a song, somebody give me a quarter.
Do you have any tracks you want to play here, have our listeners take a listen
we
to?
We haven't recorded anything yet. We've only started working together for about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. So, you
that's
know,
exciting.
I have some,
it's cool because you did, not to go back to the show, but that
we moved on from the show.
But well, I think it's also coming up is that Brett, like, was somebody you met on the show.
Yeah.
Am I right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
and I do remember at the reunion show, you're saying that these are like lifelong friends or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
awesome.
That's great. Like, that you participate in essentially a really, really hard game show. You know what I mean? And you come out of it with like this.
Right. Price is Right meets Lord of the Flies.
Exactly.
I think that was the pitch for Survivor when they first brought it up.
Okay. All right. It's like, let's make a deal.
Uh-huh.
Except for you have to eat squid. You have to eat
pig balls.
Yeah.
Now, did Brett live here before you met him?
He
or?
Did. He was a student at Pepperdine. He went to Pepperdine. Mm. So he was living up in Calabasas, Malibu area for a long time, and he just moved down to Santa Monica. So he lives actually about 3 miles from here.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So he and I hang out all the time. He's my best friend.
That's a fun. That's like a fun story. Sorry to bring it back to the show. But,
yeah, I mean, you can see my walls. I mean, it's got pictures of, you know, Brett and Kelly and Laura.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even notice when I came in.
Yeah.
I noticed this picture over here.
Well, that's actually, I cut that out from GQ magazine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen that picture.
She is hot.
And that's Keira Knightley, right? Isn't it?
I don't know. No, it's not Keira Knightley.
It isn't?
That.
No,
no. It's some Victoria's Secret model. She's cricking. I mean, cracking. I mean, she's hot. She's clicking.
She's cricking. She's cracking.
She's cricking my neck because I'm turned upward. You can't see it out there in podcast world, but I am having to look upward at about an 85-degree angle.
Yes. Well, here, I'll mark the time, too, and if I can Google image that, I will throw it up there.
Yeah, do
so
it.
I can,
yeah.
So somebody can at least see what we're talking about.
Yeah,
my phone.
It was
so
from GQ from a few months ago. I was like...
Where'd you get the frame? Is that Target or?
No, it came
IKEA,
with it.
Just like every other frame on this wall.
Did you buy it specifically for that?
No, I have several. I got excited. I'm because IKEA. I don't own a car, and IKEA is in friggin' Carson, and so I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna go there. I'm just gonna buy a bunch of this and that, and you know, it's easier
pushing
to buy.
A shopping cart the
it's
whole way
easier
back.
To buy. Yeah. No, I borrowed my friend's car.
Oh, okay.
Wow. That was my other question. Like, do you have a, like, and I don't, I hope this doesn't sound like an insult, but like, do you have a license then? Or
yeah, I have a license.
So is it just an economical thing, or is it similar to the TV?
It was a combination of, you know, I just don't need one.
Yeah.
I don't need one.
That's what I was curious about. I think that most people who don't, even, because you hear when you come to LA, like, oh, you got to have a car. It's not like New York. But I know people that don't have cars.
Sure, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think you're one of, honestly, I want to say five people that I know that doesn't have a car and gets around just fine.
Yeah, like, I mean, Brady Bunch has got a friggin' scooter. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, he's got a vest.
Brady Bunch is a mutual friend from Second City who we should have on the show. That guy's great.
Hey, is his name Brady Bunch?
Yes. He really is. He's hilarious. Yes.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a big story behind that or something like
is
that.
Is there really?
I've heard through the grapevine. I've never asked him
because
weirdly enough, his name is the least interesting part about this guy.
Seriously.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. It's true. He's amazing, dude. Like, I lost contact with a lot, except for on Facebook, you know, so I haven't talked to Brady Bunch in a long time, but yeah, he drives a little Vespa scooter. I was actually thinking, cause you know, they've got these little Chinese scooters that I can go spend like $900, $1,000 and get this scooter that'll run 100 miles on $3 worth of gas.
Yeah. Right.
What's not to love about that?
Nothing.
I mean, aside from, you know, getting blindsided through a stop sign and...
Well, what's not to love about that? That's great.
I think of 47 things.
Yeah, right.
One of them being death.
Death, totally.
I have a motorcycle license, and when I was, I think, I wasn't 16. I know that I was older than that. Weirdly enough, like most, for some stupid reason, in California, you can be 15 years old, and they might have changed this, because I think they recently changed the driver's license age to 18 instead of 16 now.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because my nephew just made the cusp of the cutoff time, so he can get it when he turns 16 next year. But like everybody younger than him can't. Like they all have to wait 2 years. So it's weird because there's going to be
people that are like a week younger than him are not going to have it till 2 years after.
Basically, yes, exactly. There's going to there's going to be this huge gap. Like that's what I thought. The first thing that came into my mind was that there's going to be this huge gap of. Like high school parking lots being completely empty.
Yeah.
Insurance companies are just going to not see the same like inflow that they used to like
honestly,
for 2 years.
That's great for me, dude. Yeah. Because you know what?
Your chances go down.
In LA, yeah, exactly. In LA, man, they should make it like the driver license age should be about 24.
Yeah.
Yes. You know? Yeah. Rent a car and get a driver's license.
Yeah. There's some retards out there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, not to say anything bad about retards. They're probably better drivers.
I appreciate the probably. Well, because it hasn't been tested.
We don't know.
We don't know for sure. Yeah. And we don't want to give out false information on this show.
I think we need to set that up as a separate driving school. In addition to the women's school.
Episode,
we have a women, an Asian, and a mentally handicapped school for driving.
So we can be racist on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. We can do anything we want. It's the internet, my friend.
We don't have to. They haven't established the laws for internet driver's licenses yet.
It's coming, I'm sure.
You have to have a certain maturity level to get an internet driver's license.
Well, I was just talking too. Speaking of the internet, I was just talking to my friend that I've noticed that the successful podcasts are the ones that the more vulgar, racist that you can be, like just insane. I was actually not
here you
I don't,
go. Boogers.
Thank you. You just increased our ratings, my friend. That's what you did. That's
I want to listen more. What's he going to say next?
This is what I was going to say. This is not from the other thing, but what I was going into with the motorcycle thing is that it's weird that you're 15, you could get a motorcycle, and the idea was that it's cheaper to insure, it's cheaper to fuel and all that stuff, so they would make it more
cheaper
accessible.
To insure, that's surprising.
Oh, yeah, because the only thing that gets hurt is you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're not going to kill anybody else.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because I remember, I think I was paying at 16 years old, and this would have been 1995 or whatever. I think that math is right. Yes, it's right. So 1995, when I was 16, I was paying, I think, close to $250 a month for auto insurance, and I think that was just liability coverage, like the bare minimum.
Wow.
Because what was so funny is I remember signing up for it, and I remember being like, this is horrible. This is stupid. I'm getting screwed all a lot of like, and my dad wouldn't be put on my policy, like wouldn't just add me onto his policy because it would have been cheaper as a multiple vehicle. He's like, no, you're on your own. You go do your thing.
What a dick.
Here's the thing. My dad was a dick in kind of a good way in that He made me get a job. He made me pay my own bills. So I went through most
you
of
had
my
to move out at 14.
18. It was definitely like time to leave. Just so he never said it would have been. That's the other thing. I think this would have been less of a dick move on his part. And he's a listener, so I don't care if he hears this. It would have been less of a dick move on my dad's part if he would have said at 18, "Hey, it would be good if you left now," instead of just being a bigger dick.
Yeah.
Until I picked up on it myself almost a year later.
Right.
Like, it was my birthday's in January. It was December of that year that I was like, I'm moving out. And he's like, yeah, here's a car. You want some groceries? Honey, give him some towels. The kid's getting out of the house. And I was the last one. So it was a huge party.
Right, we're going to Paris, mama.
It's happening now. Oh, it was like he had reached the finish line of parenthood.
Nice. He's just doing that lean forward to break the tape. Yeah.
He was at the sprint with me when I graduated high school. Right. He was like finishing strong. And
he's playing the Chariots of Fire theme over and over and weeping softly to himself. Oh, is that his name alive?
So anyway, when I got one of the first motorcycles I got because I found out it was cheaper was this little trail bike that my uncle had had. Mm-hmm. And it was like a moped trail bike. And I distinctly remember thinking that I'm like, man, I should have done this from the get-go. And here's what I think. I honestly think that more 15, 16-year-old kids should have to drive that first because it teaches you a level of awareness that you've never experienced in your entire life.
Ever.
And I know this is not going to be a popular opinion, but I do think it does create, it brings back the level of natural selection.
I knew you were going to say it.
It does. Because you know, man, you're on a motorcycle, it's smear the queer.
Yep.
It is.
If you don't have enough chromosomes to protect yourself and do it safely.
Right.
I don't want you making more of you.
But I will say, but here's the thing is, we men are at a genetic disadvantage anyway because the Y chromosome is a straight up retard. It's only got, I mean, those X chromosomes are brilliant. They have like 3,000 genes on them, and the Y chromosome has 7.
Yeah.
That's like literally the right number. I'm not kidding.
I just remember riding this moped. I'm like, oh, I need to get gas. And so I pulled into a gas station, this van came flying at me, came into the other thing. And you take a class where they say never to, if you have to make an immediate fast, like an emergency stop, never use the front brake. They say that to you 47 times in like a 3-week class, like just again and again and again. And so what I do, I panic, I grab both brakes while the front wheel locks up. I'm at a lean, kicks the bike out from underneath me.
Take me away to where I'm going. Should it be?
And then being like, I think I was 17 at the time, when that happens, you have that like teenage embarrassment added onto it where it's like, oh, I'm an idiot. And then, so I like the bike.
Are you still midair? What's going on here?
Here's what happened. It was more of like a. It was more like
you yada yada the best part. What's going on?
I did more of like a stuntman move where the bike skidded and I was sliding.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. That's cool.
I was airborne.
That's not okay. That's cool. No, that's
I was smart enough that, and I was already turning away.
Because you
I
lock
up
that back wheel and you're gonna lose it. It's gone.
Well, and plus it's that gas station like.
It's slick.
It's slick. Concrete that I think you can ice skate on it. I'm pretty sure that you can.
It wouldn't take much, just a little rime of frost and zip.
Boom. Let's have the Olympics.
For sure.
Yeah. So I do that, and then the guy who flew into the gas station he didn't even know what happened.
Really?
I'm sure there was somebody at the intersection who saw, look at that jackass who just dumped. Because it's not like I was riding like a cool Harley.
Right.
I was riding an orange like 85 Honda trail bike. It looked like a moped. They're like, where do you put the bicycle pedals on that thing? No, it's a trail bike. It's not really a moped. Shut up. It had like my uncle screwed. It had like a rack on the back, but it didn't hold anything. And so rather than buying a basket, he screwed a milk crate to the back of it.
Oh,
nice.
I can top that. My old man had an 81 Suzuki. It was black. It was a street bike. Uh-huh. And he wanted a fairing, like a windscreen, for it. But he didn't want to spend the money. So he made his
out of what?
Plywood.
Nice.
I swear to God. All sharp angles.
Right.
Because you can only put, can't. What are you going to do? Buy a steam room to bend the plywood?
Right,
no.
Right.
So it's all sharp angles and wood screws and shit.
He lost all of his fuel efficiency of having a motorcycle.
Totally. Yeah. Because I said, how did that ride? He said, it was real heavy.
Plus, if he slanted it, it probably like just slightly, like it probably created this huge downforce on the front end of it whenever he picked up above 30.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, but so for me, this crash, it instantly made me aware of the idea that I had to be safe or I could die on this thing, because that was my first close call. And I didn't have that in a vehicle, because I remember being angry about being overcharged for insurance. And like literally the first, I think, I'm pretty sure it was the first day I drove to school, I did the thing of like, hey, everybody, I'm coming by to pick you up and I'm taking you home from school because daddy's got a truck. Oh, yeah. I had a 76 GMC Jimmy, like a full-size Blazer. Yeah. It was maroon and white and Bondo on one of the fenders.
Like, 9 miles of the gallon.
Oh, right. It was the best ever. And I had a paper route, so I had all money to blow.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah. And I remember buying it,
too. Hold on. Let me just stop you. Did you deliver your papers in the Jimmy?
No.
Because that would have been hilarious.
And probably would have cost me.
Totally. Right. Right. My paper route has suddenly become a losing proposition. And,
I do remember, though, this is another dick move that my dad did. He said, when I was 15 and I wanted to buy a car, he made me get a paper route when I was 9. You had to be 12 to get a paper route, but he made me start when I was 9 and he put it in his name and then I took it
so
over.
So you do that,
12.
But not your car insurance?
Yeah. Exactly. You make me get, oh, yeah. He'd help me get a job. Yeah, oh, yeah.
But he wouldn't help save you money.
Well, that's how my granddad did for my father. He said, all right, he went and bought a used lawnmower for $25.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And then, or what he did really was, and then he made my dad go out and earn 20 of it to pay him back. So the $5 was the gift. And he had to pay for the rest himself, but then he could go out and earn more money with and I've done that too. But anyway, so you were saying, a level of like, I'm an idiot in a car. Yeah. I just am. Yeah. Like my brain spins like a cheetah in a chipmunk cage.
Nice.
like light speed. Yes. Yeah. Yes. But you know what? But when it comes to outside my little glass bubble, I'm a retard. Like a friend of mine, dear friends of mine that I actually were my guests at the finale, they let me borrow their, she let me borrow her car for like a month back in September, and I damn near wrecked the thing a couple of times, like coming down off Bundy and Sentinel or something. There's like this
just
intersection.
In one trip.
I had a stop sign, but I didn't even see it because it was a weird one of those Y-shaped intersections, and I just rolled on through it. Yeah. I just kind of did a quick look and rolled through and damn near got blindsided. I mean, not even blindsided, but yeah, I'm an idiot. But when I'm on a motorcycle, I know, all right.
Yeah, you got to be aware.
This could be it.
Yeah.
You know,
every turn.
And I ride my bicycle in traffic and I damn near got killed. What is today? Tuesday? Like on Friday, I almost got hit by this guy in a freaking, like a VW. And this guy's got his head so far up his butt. I mean, obviously, he drives a VW.
VW.
Right?
You can do whatever you want.
You know, but so anyway, I almost got killed and I was like, oh man.
You gotta be careful. Right?
I need to think about getting
now. Do you
car.
When you ride the bike? Do you, let me first wrap up this other story because I get accused of leaving open ended things. So what my point
that
was
would have been my fault.
That
would have been my fault.
I could have done it even without your help.
You're like, I'm fully capable, man.
I've got it on lockdown. There.
To be fair, he still hasn't finished the story.
Yeah. I remember being angry about how much I was being charged, and on the day that I took all my friends home from school, like I was. Like talking,
he charged him $5. Didn't
that's a whole other story.
Good, right.
So I tried to make a lane change, and I hit this guy's. This was when Kias first came out. He had a brand new Kia. I hit it on the back door with my bumper. He panicked and slammed on his brakes, which just dug my bumper on the side of his plastic
door,
car.
Quarter panel, everything.
It peeled
right off.
It looked like I made a Grand Canyon. Like it was just all this plastic had broken off. And I was so embarrassed because, like, it was just my first trip. All my friends were in the car.
Nice.
Like, and they're, of course, teenagers and not nice. So they're just like, what a douchebag, even though I'm taking them home. You know what I mean? Like, so they don't have to walk. You know, I was like, oh, it was the worst.
Everybody out.
This guy couldn't have been. He was younger. I think he was probably in his early 20s. And it was like, you just got this vibe. He's like, no, dude, I get it. He saw all my friends in the car.
He's like,
He's like, it's okay. You got insurance, right? I said, yeah. He goes, we're cool, man.
We're cool. Totally. As long as you got insurance.
He's like, he goes, this car is only 2 weeks old. I'm going to get another one. They're going to take it back. It's going to be all, everything is going to be fine totally. For everybody. Because nothing happened to my 76 Jimmy.
Right, of course. There wasn't a scratch. There might have been a trail of paint smear, maybe.
Yes, I had collateral damage, like DNA evidence at a rapist. Like,
yeah. Right. Like it would have taken like Quincy to find his
car on my car.
Find the spot on the car. For sure. I got rear-ended while on my bicycle a couple of years ago by a chick in a Honda.
What?
Yeah. I'm riding down Santa Monica Boulevard, and if you're heading, okay, so if
do you ride in the lanes? That's what I was going to ask you earlier. Do you ride, or
if
do
there's
you...
a bike lane, I take it, but otherwise, I take over that lane, and it's mine. Okay. Fuck you, because that's really the only safe way to ride in the street.
And it is the legal thing, right?
It is
right?
legal. Absolutely. Riding on the sidewalk is illegal.
That's what I
even
thought.
Even though I found out from a lady not 48 hours ago that West Hollywood passed an ordinance that says you can ride on the sidewalk.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. And I said, still dangerous. Yeah. Because honestly, 85-year-old Russian immigrant woman comes out of a doorway and
she comes out of the UPS store and boom, it's over.
Broken hip, done.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I mean, not cool.
No.
You know, but at the same time. So, yeah, I ride in, and there's been a couple of times when I've chased people down. They're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, guess what, bitch? We're in traffic.
Yeah.
And I can
go faster.
I can go faster. Yeah. And so I will catch you, and I will give you a stern talking to. Are you cognizant this is a motor vehicle legally that I'm riding right now? But so this chick rear-ends me while I'm on. And here's the thing about this bike is I went to the bicycle kitchen over at the corner of Melrose and Heliotrope.
Now, what is that? Is that a restaurant or is that a bicycle shop?
The bicycle kitchen is actually it's a nonprofit. It's a co-op. Let's plug the bicycle kitchen.
Okay.
The BC Cochina or Bici, BC, B-I-C-I, whatever, however you pronounce bicycle in Spanish. I think it's BC Cochina.
Okay.
It's a nonprofit dedicated to helping people get on the road, get bikes. You know?
They can get jobs.
And so people will donate bikes. Oh, you know, whatever. So they, you know, it's you know, it's more environmentally sound. It's better exercise.
Yeah.
You know, they're just promoting it. That's their mission, right? People donate bikes and frames and used stuff, and they have a whole bunch of tools. Some manufacturers like Giant, you know, will donate, you know, inner tubes or tires or spokes or just little things, you know, chains, you know, which they can then sell and make enough money to pay rent on the spot. So I went and did my research, and I found this kick-ass, like, Fuji from the 70s steel, lugged steel frame, and these bitchin' freaking...
This is great. You're talking, like, you're doing bike talk, but, like, you're a car guy.
Yeah, right? yeah.
These model numbers and years.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
That's great.
I found these kick-ass Italian rims, man, and these cool, you know, like, mustache handlebars. I mean, it's badass. And I put the thing together, tweaked it out, so I'm zipping down the street. Mm. And I've been hit by a car twice. One time was I was crossing that one crosswalk at McCadden Place on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah,
that thing is a death alley. And that one was my fault because I jump out in hopes the guy will stop. And the guy in this black Mercedes taps my front wheel and spins it 90 degrees, which means you're going straight to the pavement because it just rolls right down.
Mm.
And then he like stops. He's like, oh man, are you okay? I was like, yes. And that was my fault. I'm sorry. Like, are you sure? Okay. I'm totally fine and I'm an asshole and you're totally cool. Don't worry about it. He's like, are you sure? It's like, I'm cool. And it's funny because I'm like, that's a black Mercedes, man.
You
could get paid. But you know, screw that. That was my fault.
Yeah.
But this dumb bitch, I'm on Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood coming back from, I don't know, Dr. T's, this tea joint that isn't there anymore. And I'm cruising eastbound and I'm just passing Kings Boulevard where that Gelson's is.
Uh-huh.
And right about there is where there was a bicycle lane, but the bicycle lane disappears. So you have no choice but to merge into the actual car lane. And so I merge into the car lane. So I'm pedaling away and I look to check my blind spot and it's occupied. So I can't move. And so then as I just a tenth of a second, I'm starting to turn back forward and I see the idiot behind me accelerate.
Mm.
And I turn even farther and look straight behind me and my mouth makes this, oh. You know? And at this point, I know that I'm about to die. Like, visions, because my old man has always ridden motorcycles and things like that. And he says, here's the deal. If you're in an accident, you're going to die. That's just it.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I'm about to die. Hope I did a good job, God, because I'm about to die. This chick, but as I crane my head farther back, I see the look on her face. She's like, oh my gosh, like a fear. So she hits her brakes, but not in time. But she hits me, and I don't even go flying. Like, she caught it in time to where she trapped my rear wheel behind.
Oh my gosh.
And
so you just kind of skidded to a stop together.
I skidded to a stop together, you know, but it was like... And so I'm like, okay, I need to deal with this. So I get off the bike and I go back there.
Now, is your bike still standing up because it's stuck on her?
Yeah. No, I kind of pull it under the, you know, sort of. So I go back there and I get in right in her window. And she gives me that look that all spoiled little girls everywhere have got. That one where they smell something nasty, like they wrinkle their noses.
Right, yeah.
Why did you stop in front of my car?
She goes, oh, you're in the car lane? And I'm like, okay, you know what? My boner just went away.
You had a lot of adrenaline.
Yeah, oh, man, I was jacked up in the sky. You know, but the thing that honestly went through my mind is, you know what? The right way to do this is I should just call the police. You know, because you're an idiot. We can file a report, zippity-doo-dah.
You're in the car lane?
You're in the car lane? Then I'm like, all right, well, pull over. And so it was a big hairy deal, and we called. She's like, "Oh my gosh, please don't call the cops because I've had a ticket."
You called the cops?
Like a real young chick, like teenager?
No, she's like 25.
Oh,
she's just irresponsible, stupid. You know, she's just spoiled.
And the cops got her.
The cops. I don't know. I called the cops. We filled out a report, and they let me go. And they talked to her later. And did they give her a ticket? I don't know. But her insurance heard from me, and I called my lawyer. And
hey,
cheers! They paid for the bike, and the bike.
Because this is your souped up bike. Like, it's almost like it's to me. It sounds like, because especially when you said Italian rims, it's like a car guy getting a Lamborghini or a Ferrari. Like,
it's like building. I got an estimate from this. This high dollar bicycle shop that builds new bikes similar, like lug steel frame and really high quality parts. And so I made bank.
Nice.
Yeah, it was kind of a sweet little deal. Like, I lived off it for a few months.
That's great.
Yeah, it was good.
So moral of the story is, not only is bicycling good for your environment, but it also could be good for like a 401k type situation.
Right.
Exactly.
Ride bikes more often.
And it was funny too, because this girl, she honestly was like, how do I know you're not just a con man who just doesn't do this kind of thing? And I'm like, do you know what the game Russian roulette is? Because, I mean, that's an incredibly dangerous switch. I mean, seriously?
I think on two levels.
What you're saying?
Yeah, like, I'm going to go out and throw myself in front of moving vehicles to make a dollar, number one. Number two is that...
And trust that they're going to stop.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Con men are known for being able to control the entire situation from beginning to end. There's a lot of variables in trying to get hit by a car on a bicycle that you cannot account for.
Right. Okay, I'm going to... Okay, let's see. I'm just going to hope that she's had her brakes tuned up recently. Man.
You said she was driving a Honda, so it doesn't seem to me like she's the perfect, you know, target or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. No, I go after Hondas. No, you know what? My favorite target is Kia.
Yeah. That's what you do.
Kia, man. Those Korean cars, because everybody who drives the Korean cars got the money.
That's where it is. But secondly, is that if you're in that situation where she clearly is in the wrong, you're just, for somebody who, like what you said with the guy with the Mercedes, you're like, this is my bad, as nice as it would be to come after this guy.
It was my bad. You're totally cool.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know, I mean, if you had gone out and been a dick, then maybe there'd be some divine retribution.
You're in the car lane.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, like, to me, you're just making a bad situation worse. Like, you're not making it better for yourself. There's no positive way for this to spin for you, dumbass.
Like, you know, but she's like, oh my gosh, how do I fix this? How do I fix this? Panic. Blame them.
Right, yeah.
Welcome to LA.
I feel like we've come full circle at that point. So we can let's wrap it up there. Thank you very much, Dave Ball, for being on our show.
Thank you very much. much for having me.
If you guys
are
listening
us in your house
and you want to find Dave Ball, I know that he's on the Facebook. You could become a fan of Dave Ball. Am I right on that?
Yeah, the fan page is Danger Dave Ball. Mm-hmm. And I have a website, DangerDaveBall.com.
And then also give us a plug for the, because I like this bicycle co-op thing.
Oh, yeah, the Bicycle Kitchen. It's a corner of Melrose and Heliotrope, and they are dedicated to serving the community through putting people on bikes, putting them on the road.
I like
go
this.
There, you can buy, you can get a bike. You know, they will teach you how to assemble it, teach you how
cool.
to maintain it. They will... you know, money is not an issue. It's like, you know, they like a donation, but if you ain't got no money, they're still, they want to put see you on a bike.
Yeah.
So they're a real good
organization. I like this because for me, I see this going as like somebody who's fallen on hard times. This is a way for them to get to and from a job.
Hey,
this
man.
Really is a nice leg up for somebody, especially in Southern California. So even if you're somebody who's not in the Southern California area, this might, and looking for a charity or something like that, this might not be a bad place to throw some coin towards.
Yeah, man, for sure. Bicyclekitchen.com. Check
all right.
out.
Well, thank you again, Dave Ball. On behalf of myself, Justin Worsham, and my good friend Kevin Miller, and Dave Ball, we're all saying, okay, bye. Thanks for listening to the Second Funniest Podcast. You can reach us at 408-228-4911 or send us an email to podcast@justincomedy.com. Please, once a month, vote for us at Podcast Alley. Also, check out our store at cafepress.com/justincomedy. All this information is available at secondfunniestpodcast.com. I'm going to be at the Sacramento Punchline March 11th through 14th. The Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, March 17th through 21st. April 28th through May 1st, I'm going to be at the Pechanga Casino with Darren Carter in Temecula, California. I'm going to be co-headlining at Wits End in Westminster, that's in Denver, near Denver, Colorado, July 14th through 18th. I'm going to be coming back to Rooster Teeth Feathers July 22nd through 25th. For all of my stand-up appearances, check out justincomedy.com. If you like this podcast, check out my other podcast called Dads Are More Fun. You could go to dadsaremorefun.com or just search for Dads Are More Fun in iTunes.